From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Our perceptions are shaped by who we interact with, but also what we see all around us. Television shows have great power to influence American attitudes, for good or ill. And so writers' rooms, where content is created, characters and plot points are dreamed up, are powerful spaces, particularly at a time when new spaces and funding have opened up on online streaming outlets. But a new study confirms what many have known for years. Hollywood's writers' rooms are dominated by white men. In a city like Los Angeles, where people of color are nearly 60% of the population, they are quite absent in writers' rooms. Even though the city is more diverse than ever, even though there are new and expanding platforms for diverse content, breaking through the race barrier in the writers' room remains a challenge. The study in question was commissioned by the group Color of Change and authored by my guest, Darnell Hunt. He is the Dean of Social Sciences and Professor of Sociology and African American Studies at the University of California at Los Angeles. He's also director of the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies at UCLA, and he's known for his annual Hollywood Diversity Report. Welcome to the program, Darnell.
Great to be here, Sonali.
So we usually have you on around February of every year when you put out the Hollywood Diversity Report. How different is this report, commissioned by Color of Change, on racial dynamics of writers? So this is the sort of behind the scenes version of what you normally do, which is looking at the casts of shows?
Exactly. It's a very different report, but it actually complements the annual report we do. So what this report really tries to do is talk about the so what of the numbers. That is to say, the Hollywood Diversity Report gives you a pretty comprehensive snapshot of everything that's happening with respect to diversity in television and Hollywood films. And we intentionally released it in February, right before Oscars, because we know that that's going to be a time of year when we're talking about these issues. Color of Change, as a racial justice organization, was much more interested in, okay, we know the numbers are bad, but what is that doing to us? What's the impact on society? And those were the questions that motivated this study. And what they wanted me to do was take a look at writers' room dynamics to figure out how those play into the types of stories that get told, and then how those stories are likely to interact with racial politics. That was the focus of the study.
So let's just talk about who is in the writers' rooms. What does a typical writers' room in Hollywood look like? What are the simple demographics of these rooms?
Well, Hollywood writers' rooms can vary quite considerably. What the viewer needs to understand is that essentially these people come together every day when a show is in production, and they could spend, you know, up to 16 hours a day in this room, basically pitching story ideas to each other that ultimately get incorporated into the script that becomes, you know, what viewers see on television. It's a very interactive process. It's a very social process. So you can imagine how things like race and gender come into play in these rooms, affecting how people respond to one another and who's actually in the room. So a typical writer's room could have anywhere from 4 to 20 people. I mean, some rooms are quite large, some are smaller. But the one thing we know is that, you know, they haven't been all that diverse. What we found in our study is that more than 90% of these rooms were actually led by a white showrunner, the person who actually is responsible for the day-to-day production of the show, hiring the writers, that type of thing. Nearly two-thirds of the shows we looked at, and we looked at 234 shows on 18 networks, nearly two-thirds of those shows had no Black writers at all in the room. Another 17% of the shows had only one token Black writer, and the remaining 17%, two or more. Blacks overall made up less than 5% of the 3,817 writers, I think, that we looked at across all the shows. So we're talking about underrepresentation, which we already knew. I mean, we knew this from the Hollywood Diversity Report and from other studies that have come out from the Writers Guild and elsewhere. But what this study really zeroed in on was, okay, so what does that mean? What happens in those rooms? What types of experiences did writers have, and how did that shape the stories that got told?
So what are some of the ways in which those people who are writers of color interact with their white peers. You said these are social spaces, and your report shares quotes from some writers that you spoke with. How does it feel to be the only person of color in a room when one is trying to tell stories about characters who may or may not be diverse? There may be no people of color in the particular show they're writing, or there may be one person of color or one or two people of color, the kinds of characters that get written. What do people go through who are in that minority?
Sure. Well, let me take one step back. So what we did is we started out by looking at three types of writers' rooms we were interested in. We were interested in what we call isolated rooms. That's where you had one token person of color and a white showrunner. What happens in those rooms? What are the racial dynamics? You know, how do writers relate to one another? Then we talked about included rooms. Those were rooms where you had a white showrunner and you had multiple writers of color, maybe three or four, a critical mass of writers of color, where none of the writers of color felt like, you know, gee, I'm the only person in the room and I'm being asked to speak for the entire group or community, or maybe I'm not being asked to speak at all. And then last but not least, we looked at liberated rooms. And those were rooms where you had a showrunner of color, a black showrunner, and multiple black voices, multiple writer of color voices in the room. And those labels are meant to kind of capture the dynamics in the room. So what we found when we spoke to the 15 writers we interviewed, and we picked writers who had worked in those different types of rooms in terms of those demographics to see what their experiences were like. And we found an amazing amount of consistency in terms of the experiences that people described. Working in an isolated room where you were the only writer of color, the token black writer, was a very, very alienating experience. The writers felt marginalized. They felt like they had to prove themselves constantly. They felt like they couldn't bring up race, and if they did bring it up, they were often ostracized, marginalized. The other writers in the room would sometimes actually check out, start reading their cell phones or doing something else when they're making a comment, and ultimately the comment they made wouldn't be incorporated into the story, or if it was, it would be incorporated in a watered down way, or people would simply just ignore them and not really allow them to speak at all. So they felt often voiceless in these types of rooms. As a result, what we found a relationship between those experiences and what we know from the stories that got produced, because we also examined a number of episodes from different types of rooms. Those characters tended to be more one-dimensional with respect to race, not very sophisticated, or what some of the writers referred to as cardboard characters. They talked about race being the third rail, you know, using that metaphor of the subway train, the electrified rail, that if you touch it, it literally, you know, creates a spark, and people aren't willing to kind of deal with it in any type of meaningful way. So that was a pretty consistent depiction we got from the writers who worked in those types of rooms.
Yeah, it's one of the quotes in your study where writers share their experiences was from a writer who said, "Black characters were like magical Negroes. There's no life except for what can I do for my white friend?" And you see this a lot. I mean, you know, people of color who watch TV shows, we tend to have a different filter when we watch TV shows. At least I do, because I'm sensitive to these issues. And you start to see a pattern if you're looking for it in so many TV shows where characters of color are incidental to the main character. They're basically there to facilitate the story arc of the main white lead. And I suppose writers of color notice that dominant trend as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and again, it's a direct reflection of the room itself.
Yeah.
If you're in an isolated room where you have a white showrunner and maybe a token person of color, who doesn't feel liberated enough to speak, who's worried about the way they're going to be perceived, whether or not they're going to be marginalized and ostracized, more likely than not, you're going to get very stereotypical or one-dimensional representations of race, if in fact it even comes up. And if you do have a character of color, unless, you know, the basic idea for the series has that character as central to the premise, more likely than not, they're going to be there just to sort of support the main character, which is more likely going to going to be white. So
now, Darnell, one of the things that your study very interestingly pointed out was that writers' rooms that are led by African Americans, led by people of color, are really inclusive, that they almost always have at least one white person in the room, but the converse isn't true, right?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, there's an old adage in Hollywood, and people have talked about this for years. I mean, it's sort of a double standard. You know, white writers can write for anyone, but writers of color are perceived to only be able to write, you know, characters of color, which is just not true, of course. But in practice, that's what we see. So one of the things we found, and we looked for this explicitly, was that, you know, all of the shows that were led by Black showrunners had multiple white writers on those shows.
And all of them. That's always
been the case. But we know that most shows don't have Black writers at all, and many don't have writers of color. And you know, so it doesn't sort of, I mean, there's a double standard in the sense that it isn't assumed that writers of color can you know write for the main character. Only if it's a show with a racial theme is there a place for these types of writers.
Now, you looked at a number of media outlets and, you know, outlets that produce TV content. And those spaces, as I said, are multiplying. There are more and more online-only streaming sources that are joining the ranks now. Netflix is pouring huge amounts of money into creating content. Hulu is joining in. Amazon, of course, you know, which was once an online bookseller, is creating TV shows. Can you give us a sense of which outlets were better than others in terms of diversity in the writers' rooms? Did some do better than others?
Yeah, I mean, we've known for some time that the broadcast networks as a whole were doing a little bit better. ABC, for example, among the broadcast networks, Fox is doing pretty good. NBC is doing a decent job. I mean, this is all relative, of course, because all of the networks could improve. I mean, we're not anywhere near proportionate representation, which is what, you know, one would expect if there wasn't something going on behind the scenes. But, you know, they're doing well relative to the really poor performers, like CBS, for example, among the broadcast networks, just hasn't done a good job at all. Hulu didn't do that well among the digital platforms. AMC, Bravo, they were lagging. Showtime didn't do that great. I mean, I think that in general, the broadcast networks did better, with the exception of CBS. Netflix was kind of middle of the road, but improving. I mean, based on the numbers I've seen in recent years, because when we first started doing the Hollywood Diversity Report, the digital platforms were actually the worst on the diversity front. So I think there's some movement there, probably as Netflix is, as you noted earlier, producing more original content than anyone now.
What about women? Did your study examine the representation, or rather the presence of women in writers' rooms? I mean, given all of the revelations around Harvey Weinstein these days and how women, you know, have systematically been sort of pushed out of Hollywood, mostly in the film industry, but Weinstein's revelations have led other people to come forward about how women are often finding themselves, have often found themselves in spaces where they are excluded and are preyed upon.
Yeah, we didn't focus on gender. We did look at gender, and we did compute, you know, numbers. But the focus of the report, because of you know, Color of Change's interest, was definitely on writers of color, Black writers in particular, and how that played out in terms of racial narratives in shows. But I can tell you, based on data from our Hollywood Diversity Report, which does look at gender and race, that, you know, as a group, women obviously haven't reached parity with men, but as a group, they're doing better than writers of color, in the sense that you do find increasingly women showrunners. Women showrunners tend to have more diverse rooms than male showrunners. You know, most every show, I mean, there are very few shows on television that don't have any women in the writer's room. But there are lots of shows on television that don't have writers of color. So in that sense, women are doing a little bit better. Obviously, again, they have a ways to go, but, you know, racial and ethnic minorities, you know, have, you know, a steep, you know, hill to climb before they reach anything resembling, you know, proportionate representation.
So Darnell, let's talk about how it gets the way it is, because, you know, Hollywood likes to pride itself on its liberal politics. You talk to many of these white dominated writers' rooms and they would be horrified at accusations of exclusion. Is it that, like in so many industries, people are recruited to join the staffs of these shows through existing networks, existing social networks? You hire who you know, you hire the people you're already familiar with, and so you end up replicating the same sort of racial segregation in society within writers' rooms.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, it's a classic example of kind of structures in place reproducing themselves over time because of, I guess, the pressures and the imperatives of the industry. So it's a very competitive industry, as you might imagine. It's a very lucrative industry. And the people who have been successful often have experiences working with other people who are successful or who have a track record. And when you're putting together a pitch for a show and you're trying to impress, you know, a talent agency or a network or a studio, you know, the perception is that the more people you can attach to the project who are known quantities, who have a track record and who are, you know, desirable in many ways, the higher the likelihood that the project is going to be greenlit. And so there's a tendency there, a bias towards bringing people into projects who've already worked on projects. Well, if you're starting with an industry that's excluded people of color and women, it's less likely that they're going to be among those who are elected early on to be a part of these pitches. So, and talent agencies have a huge role to play in this. You know, one of the things we document in our Hollywood Diversity Report is that they tend to have rosters that, you know, aren't very diverse. And what talent agencies do is package projects. And most TV shows are packaged, meaning that talent agencies will pull together all the talent necessary to then deliver a, you know, almost finished package to the network, a creator who has this great idea, the showrunner, maybe a director, maybe the talent, the lead talent. And if you're starting with a roster that's mostly white, then most of these packages are going to be white.
Now,
and
doesn't
so the network to you know, their choices are going to essentially create an outcome that's almost predetermined.
Doesn't the fact that more diverse casts on shows and films actually make more money play a role? We know that they sell better, especially in the film industry. We know that more diverse casts end up attracting more people and do better at the box office. That should be a good enough reason now for Hollywood, if they're you know, motivated by the bottom line and profits and money rather than by social consciousness, at least to say, yes, we do need diversity because it sells.
Well, this is a big takeaway from our Hollywood Diversity Report. Year 5 study will be out this February. We found every single year that there's a strong relationship between diversity in front of the camera and how well a TV show does in the ratings. TV shows that look like America on average have highest ratings. And the same is true with box office and film. So, you know, it's no surprise. I mean, people want to see themselves. They want to see their stories reflected on the screen. In America right now is roughly 40% people of color and, you know, slightly more than half female.
And Hollywood, of course, LA being even more diverse than the rest of the country, it's just more
shocking. You're absolutely right. Yeah, the pool you're drawing from in terms of people working in the industry, I mean, it should even be more skewed toward diversity given, you know, LA's demographics. So so that's just a fact that we replicated over and over again. And I think the fact that we're seeing some changes in Hollywood, let's face it, television is a lot better now than it was even 5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago. Some people would say we're in a golden age of TV now, just in terms of, you know, amazing number of outlets, both broadcast cable and digital, and original programming that in some cases was created by people of color, whereas in the past you might see one or two of those shows, you have multiple shows now across different platforms. That said, as a percentage of everything that's on the air, the numbers are still pretty low and there's a long way to go. So I think the reason why we don't see more diversity is really the way Hollywood is structured. The executive suites, I mean, if we just start there, I mean, they're still overwhelmingly white and male. And those are the people who make decisions about what's going to be green lighted and, you know, how it's going to be promoted, what night of the week, what type of budget it's going to have. That is to say, how likely it will succeed. I mean, all those decisions are still largely being made by white men.
And so your next report will be on diversity in the executive suites?
Well, you know, we touched on that in the Hollywood Diversity Report. We gave sort of a survey of all the executive suites. I believe it was the previous report, and it wasn't a pretty picture, you know. And, you know, those people, you would think that, okay, now that, you know, they've kind of gotten the memo that diversity sells, that, hey, look, you know, 40% of our market is people of color. And guess what? People of color consume more TV than other people. So, you know, our numbers show that people of color are actually driving ratings. You know, it's not like, you know, they're, you know, just, you know, an afterthought or you can go after them later. No, they're actually driving ratings. And so I think they understand that. So the question is, how can we gesture toward that truth and reach the market without radically changing the way we do business? That is to say, without upsetting the apple cart of who's making the decisions. Because after all, people don't freely give up power. They don't want to just step down.
Exactly.
And say, I'm going to turn it over to a person of color or to a woman.
If you really want diversity, sometimes it means stepping away from the position of power that you've occupied.
Well, but that's what they've been unwilling to do in any meaningful way. I mean, and you might say, well, gee, we could just bring in a person of color into the room. So at least we have the advantage of their advice and counsel, right? Well, then that is basically admitting that you don't know what's best, which could lead someone to question the legitimacy of you, you know, controlling this position and making all the decisions. And so what we talk about in our report is really sort of almost a conflict of interest between individual level interests and institutional interests. It's in the interest of these corporations to maximize their profit, to go after the largest audience possible. But it's often in the interest of the individual decision makers, the white men in the executive suites, to maintain control, to continue to command their high salary and to justify their position by saying that they uniquely know what's best and can make the best strategic choices for this organization, which then motivates them not to bring people of color into the executive suites and women.
Well, Darnell, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to having you back on early next year when the next Hollywood Diversity Report is ready. The report that we've been discussing, Race in the Writers' Room, can be found online at hollywood.colorofchange.org. Thanks so much, Darnell.
Thank you, Sonali.
Darnell Hunt is the Dean of Social Sciences and Professor of Sociology and African American Studies at UCLA, also Director of the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies. And he is has authored the new report commissioned by Color of Change that we've just been discussing. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.